Today, the first of which is today is the day that we remember the probably the greatest single attack on the United States of America, September 11, 2001. And we oftentimes find ourselves looking at that event and being reminded of the 6,000 plus people who lost their lives and who were injured in the response to that event or in leaving in that World Trade Center. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and today, if I'm just a touch controversial, we'll, you know, get over it. But I want to say this, that we're in a spiritual battle. And it's a spiritual battle of anti-God against the God that we know, the creator of heaven and earth. And it doesn't have to be radical to be Islam, radical Islam to be against God. If it's Islamic, it's against God that we serve. It's against Christianity. And it's important that we understand that attack was against the very heart of our nation, not against the resources or what we can produce or even against its people. It's against the heart of it, so that we will turn our back on God and that we'll find ourselves willing to walk away from God and willing to say we'll be an amoral country. And that's what that attack was all about. That's what the battle is still about today. And the battle's been ongoing for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years against that same tradition that we stand for of knowing Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so today we recognize that attack in 2001 was an attack upon our God and upon God's people. That's exactly what it was. And so it's important that we understand that today, that attack is not going away. It's going to intensify. It's going to get worse. It's going to get stronger. And it's important that we understand that God's going to call upon us to stand in ways that we've never had to stand before. And that ways that we've never had to stand before. Someone said to me the other day, we want to open and asked me to open in prayer and at an event. And said we want an ecumenical prayer. I said, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that. I only know how to pray one way. I only know how to pray one way. And that's a prayer to Almighty God that says, Our Father who art in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. Our Father. I don't know an ecumenical prayer that prays to something that's out there somewhere. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that. And, you know, here's the other side. I don't want to learn. And I'm not going to learn. Are y'all with me today? I'm not going to learn. I refuse to learn. So if I go down in flames, Tommy, I'm going to go down in flames, baby. I'm going to see it the other way. So today, what we're here about is to remember that attack came against our nation. And when that attack came, there were thousands who understood that there was a call on their life. And to be an emergency response worker is not an occupation. It's not a volunteer hobby. It's not a chance to wear a really neat uniform or to get some really neat training or to ride in something that goes loud and flashes. It's not just an opportunity to learn how to shoot down range or to learn how to manage a hazardous material. It's not just an opportunity to learn paramedicine or emergency medical response on an EMT level, a basic level, or a first responder. It's not just an opportunity to ride first in the parade. It's a calling of Almighty God through His grace to be a servant to a world that doesn't know Him. It's an opportunity to be God's hand extended, because you see, the grace that God has given to us is shown to our community through those whom we call public servants. They're not public anything but servants. I was trying to find a word and I couldn't find it. Sorry, Tommy, I'm lost there, baby. I couldn't find it. They're public servants. And here's what they understand. I've been a public servant for 28 years. And here's what public servants understand more than anything else. And that is, when the public has a need, we go. That's all it is to it. That's the bottom line. When the public has a need, we go. Regardless of what the need is, we go. And it's an amazing thing about the system that we have created called the 911 system. that when you call it, I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but when you call the 911 system, the operator on the other end, the 911 operator, never says, could you hold for me just a minute? We're on break. If you don't mind, call back in a few minutes. We're celebrating a birthday up here. They never say that, do they? Have you ever noticed that when you call the 911 dispatcher, they never, ever say, did you realize it's Christmas morning? We're opening presents. They never say that, do they? They never, ever say, I'm sorry, please call back. We're closed at 4 o'clock. We'll be here in the morning at 8. Please give us a call. And they never say that, do they? Never, ever, ever. They say, 911, what's your emergency? What's your emergency? And when you tell them your emergency, they don't say, well, that's not really an emergency. Let me tell you what an emergency is. They don't ever say that, do they? They don't ever say, well, you know, we do those types of emergencies on Tuesdays, so we'll be seeing you in a couple of days. They never say that. Have you ever noticed that when you call 911, they say, what's your emergency, right? And then they want to locate you. They want to know as much about that emergency as they can. And then at that particular moment, they're going to start pushing buttons and tones are going to start going off all over the community. And people are going to respond from a variety of agencies. Now, here's what's going to happen in emergency response. All right? You may tell them what your emergency is, and it's not the fact that are you going to get somebody. It's how many bodies are you going to get? Because you're going to get a bunch of them. Because when we come in mass to do whatever's necessary to meet whatever need is represented. And that's what emergency response is all about. That's what being a public servant is all about. And so today, we want to take the opportunity again, as we have already done. And I was so proud, Pastor, to see this wall-to-wall this morning with emergency responders. I was so touched, my heart, to know that each person who was up here today had the opportunity to do anything else in this life except serve. But yet they choose to serve day in and day out. They have the energy, they have the resources, and they have the smarts to do anything. And yet they choose to serve day in and day out. They choose to serve. They choose to give of their lives and their careers. They choose to give of their families to serve. And I think it's worth celebrating, don't you? I think it's worth celebrating to say thank you and we're proud of you for what you give to our community. It's proud of you. We're proud this morning to honor you for the gift that you gave. You know, if you look at the numbers at the World Trade Center attack, you see incredible numbers of people who died. If you look at the video, you see people jumping from buildings. You hear about that. And true, it was a huge loss. You hear about overall the attacks on the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and certainly the flight in the field. You add up all those numbers, and you start to realize that a lot of people were injured, and a lot of people lost their lives at that event. And that's the last thing I want to say about that. Turn the coin over with me, if you will, this morning. Turn the coin over with me. Because on the other side of that coin is an incalculable number of human beings who are alive and remembering today because of the people that wear these uniforms. The greatest rescue in the history of the world, where approximately 19,000 people were rescued on one day, happened in New York City, September the 11th, 2001, the World Trade Center. Approximately 19,000 people were rescued. Wow. How many times does the media focus on that? Huh? How many times have you heard that number? How many times do you stop and think about approximately 19,000 people were rescued at that one location by emergency responders, fire and police officers, paramedics, port authority people, all over came to that response. and approximately 19,000 people were rescued. See, the world against God doesn't want us to know that, because they don't want us to realize that these people are training. They were training long before that event happened, and they're going to train long after that event happened. They weren't scared before that event happened, and they're not scared now. Amen? That was good right there. And they're going to continue to serve. And so this morning, I would like for us to spend a few minutes in the second chapter of Ephesians. And I want us to understand that the reason that we see them doing what they do, and sometimes you say, why are they out there just pouring water on the ground? Why are they out there just shooting water over here at a bucket, right? Why are they all spending all that time on the firing range? Why are they spending all that time getting these new vests and all this money and doing all of these things? Because they don't focus on the dying, they focus on the living. They don't focus on the lost, they focus on the save. It's about what we can do if we prepare ourselves so that every time you call 911, you know you've got a fully trained, fully equipped, fully prepared emergency response worker that's coming to make a difference in your life. They're coming to make a difference in your life. They're making a difference in this community. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to remember on that difference, to remember what they're about. Let's talk about a couple of things. There's a paragraph of Scripture that I would like for us to look at in Ephesians 2, 1 through 11. I want us to spend just a few minutes there, not long. I'm going to emphasize a few because I understand the five B's of successful public speaking are be brief, brother, be brief. I will exercise those this morning, all right? I will exercise those this morning. However, brevity is defined by me. I want to run a parallelism, if you'll allow me to, this morning, in these 10 verses and emergency response. In these 10 verses that God gives to us, because this is Paul's example to the church at Ephesus of how that we as human beings without Jesus are made alive through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ when we began dead in our trespasses and sins. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. You were dead when you were there. I remember before I knew Christ, I was a dead individual. Amen. Weren't you before you knew him? Before you understood that he died for your sins and you could have a great outlook on life and you could actually enjoy life and you could wake up in the morning and be thankful that you could put your feet on the ground. When you could say the enemy of the heavens, get thee behind me, Satan, and had the authority to stand firm on the word. When you could say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and the word said it shall be done. Remember where you were before you realized that? Dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. You know, it's many occasion. It's many occasion that the phone rings at the 911 center. The 911 operator picks up the phone, and somebody on the other end says, he's dead, he's dead, he's dead. She's dead, she's dead, she's dead. Okay, and if these folks all have to leave, y'all don't worry about that. That won't bother me or slow me down. Okay. And at that particular moment, there are a group of people who have prepared just like Jesus prepared. You see, what Paul is saying in this passage of Scripture is that we are alive and well because of how Jesus lived his life. Not because of how he died. Lots of folks died on the cross. Lots of folks gave their life for noble causes. And the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross, or that Jesus died on the cross, was no more noble than anyone else had he not lived his life with a particular choice in mind every day. And that choice was that he would resist sin in his life every time it afforded him the opportunity. You see, Jesus was a man from Nazareth, born of a Virgin Mary. But that's not what made him the Christ. Understand here that when Paul addressed the Ephesian church, he said Jesus, it's important that these people understood that this Jesus from Nazareth was divinely born of Almighty God from heaven through this Virgin Mary. It was that Jesus. He was the Messiah, Daniel. It was that man, okay, who was the Messiah. However, he became the Christ. Christ is not his middle name. He became the Christ by how he lived his life. You see, these emergency responders that are here today, they all have names. Their parents were giving them names. They've all got names. All right? They all answer to names. But they have become something through the grace of God that allows them to come into your home and to my home when we don't know how we're going to make it. And we don't know if we're going to draw our next breath. And some of us, when they arrive and they hook the monitor to us, it says asystole, beep, boom. All of a sudden, they start reaching for their tools. They start reaching. And sometimes, they pile out of a police unit. And thank the Lord, they've learned basic CPR. Thank the Lord, they've been able to respond so that they can get there. And they, as soon as they roll up and see what they've got, and they say, send Smokey, and they say, Smokey's on the way. All of a sudden, team approach kicks in. And the grace that allows them and motivates them and pulls them to serve goes into action. You see, had the day of the cross come for Jesus and he not prepared, we wouldn't be here today celebrating the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had to live in such a manner that made him the Christ. These men and women have to live in a manner that makes them a rescuer, an emergency responder. They have to live in such a manner that's upright and noble. They have to live in a manner that's greater than those of us who are not emergency responders. You know, isn't it a disparity in our society? Not that doing bad is good on any point, but if the bank teller steals $500 out of the drawer, that's bad. And we shake our head, I can't believe that bank teller did that. I can't believe it. But if a cop, law enforcement officer, takes a ring off of somebody's dresser in their house, their whole career goes down the toilet, and they become an untrustworthy person for the rest of their lives because they did it as a cop. Are y'all with me? All right. If a firefighter walks out of your home having saved your family member's life and takes the wedding band off the dresser and puts it in their pocket, they're done for the rest of their life. For the rest of their life. Now that bank teller is going to get another job. They're going to go to another place, another city, and they're going to get another job. But what's going to follow that cop and what's going to follow that firefighter and that paramedic is they can't go into somebody else's home ever again. You see, Jesus knew that when temptation came to him, and the temptation was tell a lie, live in adultery, live in fornication, take something that don't belong to you. Jesus knew that if he did it one time, his entire life was in vain. There would be no gospel. There would be no salvation. There would be no repentance. There would be no justification of our sins through grace. It would not happen. It would not happen. And Paul said, when we accept him, we are dead to those things. And I want y'all to understand the magnitude of those that serve us in emergency response. Because they understand there's not room for one transgression. There's not room for that. And so live their lives to serve you, their community, that you can put your faith and trust in them. Absolutely count it, write it down, take it to the bank. Take it to the bank. So when they're doing a fundraiser or a fund drive to help fund something in the department to get new vests or to get new weapons or to have a new training event, when they're looking to fund a new unit or a new cruiser or a particular investigative tool, if they're looking to fund a new fire station, which I just was telling Daniel, we drove by the one at Webster. Oh, man, it looks great. It looks great. They're looking to fund something to better this community. Don't just drive by. Reach deep and say, God, what do you want me to do to help? Because they've chosen to live in that grace for you that you can depend on them, count it, write it down, take it to the bank. Take it to the bank. So I want to encourage you to live your life for them. Secondly, all of us, he said in verse 3, lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following his desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Objects of wrath. How do we get to God? We get to him, verse 4, because of his great love for us. God, who is rich in mercy, wow, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions, and it is by grace that you have been saved. Only by grace. Only by grace. Now, let's ask us ourselves a very hard question. What do we have if we just simply say we're going to remove emergency responders from our community and not have that anymore? What do we have? Anarchy, chaos, lawlessness, looting. No longer do you lay your head down at night in your bedroom and close your eyes with confidence that one of these law enforcement officers are somehow patrolling in your community. You know they're going to be by there in an hour or so, just looking for anything that doesn't look like it normally should look in your yard, at your house, in your carport. They're driving. You think, well, they're just driving by going to the donut shop. No, they're not. Had to throw that in there, didn't care. No, they're not. But on the way to consume those power rings, they're scanning everything about your house, seeing what's not usual. They know if you got another car in your driveway that's not normally there. They know. They know. And it's important that we understand that that because of that grace that's in their lives, that calling that's in their lives, we're able to have the peace in our heart. You see, God knew that without Jesus, there would be no peace in our heart. There would be no grace. There would be no way to him except that we continue in those sacrifices. But many of us would die in our sins. Many of us would inherit eternal damnation, and we would never have a chance to know God were it not for Jesus. Many of us would lose our lives. We would be raped and maimed and pillaged were it not for these who are here today in the blue. And I want to encourage you to honor the blue line. Every day you get a chance, honor the blue line. Honor the blue line. Honor the blue line. And I'm going to say it in front of them today. I hold them in high esteem, high regard, and high responsibility. However, I honor them. I honor them. I'm going to a restaurant, and I see a police officer eating over there. 9 times out of 10, I'm buying his lunch. The only reason I don't is because I may not have any money or have a means to. But if I do, I'm buying it. I'm buying it. I want to say thank you for the grace that you serve with that allows me to be at peace and comfortable, allows us to have the order in our lives. Wow, where would we be in this country today were it not for this grace? Well, the forefathers, when they formed our Constitution, a statement was made by one of those framers of that Constitution that today we in no wise have a perfect document, simply the best that we can do on this day. And this document, without the responsibility of Christian men, is no document at all. It was founded on those spiritual truths given to us through this grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's where those laws came from. And that's what we're here to uphold. And that's why we serve. That's why we serve. That's why we study to show ourselves approved. So you see, today is not just a day of remembering what happened in 2001, but it's a day of refocus. It's a day of new commitment to say, I've never really been committed to those who protect and serve, to those who respond at a moment's notice 24/7 in the pouring rain, in the hailstorm, in the beautiful sunshine. It doesn't matter who, what, when, where, how, they're coming. You don't get a level of service based on your socioeconomic level in the community. You get the same level of service regardless of who you are. The same level of service, the same grace. You see, I want to close with this thought this morning, and that is, Jesus didn't say, I'm going to die for the elite. He said, I'm dying for you, and you, and you, and you, and you. He said that I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should have the opportunity for repentance. He said, and if you will, I'll prepare a place for you that you'll never ever inherit an eternal damnation. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but when I read it in the book, it convinces me there's a real heaven and a real hell. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm here to tell you, there's a real living and there's a real dying. I got news for you in case you haven't thought about it. There ain't none of us getting out of this deal alive. I don't know anybody that's 200 years old. I don't know a few that look like it, but they ain't made it yet. Not in this room, of course. No. Oh. I'm here to tell you today, if you don't know him, and if you haven't said, Lord, please be Lord of my life. See, I've been doing an experiment, and I want to tell you about it. Have I started to close already? As I continue to close. I've been doing an experiment for these last almost 60 years. And I'm about to draw a conclusion that there is a God. Every morning at my house, I don't know if y'all have noticed it up here, but every morning at our house, sun comes up in the east. Does that here too? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I've noticed that every evening, she goes down in the west. Here too? You see there? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? It's a neat thing. It's a neat thing. I've noticed that if I will stand in an elevator or in a line or in a public place, and people walk by, say, how you doing? Did you see what happened? How you doing? Yeah, good, good, good. How you doing, man? Good, 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 good. All right? Good, good to see you. Good to see you. How you doing, man? Yeah, good to see you. Good to see you. Y'all part of this experiment? What's happening to all these folks? They're all doing the same thing, aren't they? Every time I say, hey, how you doing, look at them and smile, they smile back. I don't care if they bought them or born with them, they show them. You You see, we got a world that's waiting for somebody to risk loving them. We got a world that's waiting for somebody to risk reaching out to them to make their life better. We've got a world that's starving to death to know Jesus. And I want to encourage you today, this place, these four walls should be full every week of us bringing in people just simply by saying, hey, how you doing? All right. It's good to see you too. All right, amen. Amen. Like that green shirt. All right. And next thing you know, we've made friends all over this community who don't know Jesus. I got news for you. The majority of Webster Parish is not in church this morning. The majority is not worshiping the Lord today. Most of them are not, because you or I haven't invited them. You see, they're in a crisis. And what I want to ask you this morning is that, do you have a doubt that any of these people are going to come when you call? No, you don't have a doubt, do you? You don't have a doubt. But does the person who lives next to you have a doubt that you're going to be there if they have a need? Do they have a smidgen of a doubt that says, do they really love me? Do they have a smidgen of a doubt that says, that Jesus thing is kind of a Sunday morning thing, but it's not an everyday thing? Do they have a doubt? You see, as we close this parallelism today, I hope we'll walk out of here with the confidence to know, number one, these folks who are emergency responders, they're in for the long haul. They're going to be there. And our world simply wants to know, are you and I going to be there? You see, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that every time we call on God, He's there. Every time. Every time. Every time. Finally, let me close. Yeah, again. You had to say that, didn't you, Tommy? You're one of the few in this room who can get by with that. No, I'm kidding. 48 months ago, Susan and I sat in MD Anderson Hospital. Almost 48 months ago. 48 months ago, we sat in Shumpert Hospital. And the doctors told us that the best we can hope for you with treatment is 20 to 24 months. You have stage 4 colorectal cancer with metastatic disease in your lungs. And the best we can hope for you is 20 to 24 months. That's the best we can hope for you. That was 48 months ago. So, dead looks pretty good. The only thing that made a difference in our lives was that there was a group of spiritual emergency responders who began to pray, who began to call out the name of Jesus Christ, who began to say to disease and sickness, you have no hold. And God began to do a work. Not for derail, but so that you and I could be here together and talk about Him one more time. One more time. Respond one more time. One more call. One more opportunity. One more dispatch to say that there's somebody here today who doesn't know Jesus. There's somebody who's here today who hasn't made their commitment. And we've got one more day, one more opportunity to make that commitment. To make that commitment. The story of living the miracle is not about Darrell or Susan. It's about an almighty God who says, I have another call for you to respond to. Another opportunity. But I want you to stay sharp. I want you to stay prepared. I want you to train. I want you to practice. I want you to be faithful every day to show up. And I've got one more call for you. And my call today is to be here to share with you Jesus Christ is your answer. He loves you more than anything. More than anything, He is your answer. And today is your day.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you would like more information on North Webster Community Church or any of our other ministries, you can find us online at www.agspringhill.com.